about four or five minutes, I'm going to put this video up at the top of the homepage. I'll put some explanation above it that should be helpful. And I want you just to look at it several times and ask yourself, everything you see the guy in the brown shirt do is not random. These are planned actions. Every movement, how he's manipulating his left arm, his upper left arm, his shoulder, how he's turning his body. He's staring right at Charlie. He's probably about 8 feet away, 10 at the most, maybe. I don't know. He's smirking. And then you watch his right hand and what he does with it. Listen to the gunshot. And you tell me what's going on. If there was ever anybody who presented as a trigger man, that's it. That's it. And no one has noticed it. Gary Holland sent me the video, and he said, what do you see? And I looked at it twice, and I said, I see a shooter. I don't see him holding a long gun or even a handgun, but I see a shooter, and I see him do something with his right hand that triggers a gunshot. Goes straight ahead, right into Charlie's neck, tragically. I don't see a .30-06 round hitting him in the neck. It would have done horrific damage to him. That whole thing is ludicrous. It's a bad patsy job. Anyhow, we've got about 2 minutes before we put the video up. So, Gary, welcome back. It's pretty crazy out there, as you called it, and we talked about it. It was going to get nuts, and it is.
Good evening, Jeff. I feel it's going to be a very important hour of solid information, in my opinion.
Well, we're doing the best we can, and we've done this on other cases, the Las Vegas massacre for one, and we looked at Paddock very carefully. We discovered that he was shot twice over half an hour, let's say, after the shooting. When he began to bleed a second time, we've got that picture. I found it. You don't bleed twice when you're shot dead, allegedly, of your own volition. He did. Anyway, there are a lot of things we found that you found. You were right there on the case. So we know what to look for, and we know how to look, and that's really important.
As you know, Jeff, and this is like behind-the-scenes type stuff, but all you know is me. I just don't say anything. These things I don't take lightly. When it comes to stuff like this video that you're going to be presenting, this is something I didn't rush through. I take my time because I want to put information out that is as accurate as possible. I don't want to throw innuendos out there. I don't want to throw stuff that's just ridiculous. I try to do my best when it comes to stuff like this, and the same thing with Las Vegas and other various times. I try to do my research on stuff like this, and I don't take stuff like this lightly. And this is something, again, that I worked quite a while on, and I just this is a very compelling video.
Well, we've spent talking about this video, I don't know, four, five, 6 hours? I don't know. Long time. Watching it very carefully. And again, every action you see this guy take is not a random act. He's staring at his target. He looks like central casting, semi Mossad or CIA assassin with a high-tech weapon that no one will see. It'll be hidden in your clothes. And if you don't think that they don't have high-tech weaponry that won't necessarily have to be held up in full view to be effective, you're wrong. They have all kinds of things now. If you remember the James Bond movies, how they had advanced tech way back then, that was back in the day. Imagine where they are now. So they could easily have a firing device under that guy's shirt. It's that simple. And also, if you understand about projecting things onto the lenses of glasses that people are wearing now, You can do that. You can put the whole internet right on the lens you're looking. If you have sunglasses, you can use them as sunglasses, or you can use them to look at the internet. They have all that. And the guy on the side, the guy that they're saying is holding his right arm under his left shoulder, and he's got something in his hand, maybe, but he's looking straight ahead. So you say, well, it's impossible he could target Charlie if he were the shooter. We don't think he was. But they could easily have a little camera on the side of his glasses looking right at Charlie, and on his sunglasses could be a projection of Charlie and an X or a bullet X, the round circle, and he could target it that way. If he was holding something under his arm, it would show him he needs to move a little bit this way or point it a little bit that way to get an exact dead-on, no pun intended, fix on the target. And he could see it right on his glasses while he's looking straight ahead. That's another possibility.
Yeah. Well, also about this video, there's some actual physics that align with this, meaning the trajectory of that round is in the exact position where this guy is standing. If you see the way it enters into the position where Charlie's at sitting, where the entry point is, and you draw, you look at the trajectory path, and where this gentleman is standing, and he said, you've got to remember now, this guy is probably like at maybe three to four feet lower than where Charlie is, who's up on stage. So we're talking a 3 to 4 feet lower position this man's standing at. And where you see what he does, and combine that in concert with the gunshot sound and probably actually being hit and going limp after that, and it's in sync with what the guy is doing. So this isn't just something that, oh, look at that guy. If you look at the man's movements, the position he's standing, and you look at...
I couldn't hear you, Todd. Sorry. Todd just told me something. What? Okay, I will. Hold on. Okay, go ahead, Gary.
Okay, and if you look at the position the man's standing,
yeah,
the position is this, his left arm's in. If you look at the position, the entry point and the position of Charlie, where it's at his throat, where the entry point goes in, and where the position Charlie's in, be right the split second before he's hit, everything aligns to where this gentleman is standing.
Perfect, perfect.
And
it's absolutely textbook perfect. Yeah.
Exactly. And his movements. Because this all goes in sync. This is something like where you don't see him do something and a minute later something happens. This is like at the moment, at the second. And
precisely.
So this is something, and I haven't seen anything else out there that would convince me of some other alternative theory.
Because well, the underarm shooter,
like you said, would tear a guy's neck apart.
Yeah, 30-06 would do catastrophic damage. And plus, this shot that hit Charlie obviously was coming on an upward trajectory. No question. Now, the underarm shooter, which I'll call him, that some people see holding, he's holding something under his left arm, pointing at Charlie, but he's looking straight ahead. We thoroughly presented that. I had it on the site. We talked about that at great length, and we figured out that it couldn't happen. Couldn't happen, not from that angle. He could sight that way. He could get a good shot off, but it would hit Charlie on the right side of his neck, not the left. That disqualified that. Now, the other security people are in a frenzy of hand signals, which is really unusual. I mean, they're really doing a lot of stuff in the moments leading up to the shot. And it's very suspicious. The one guy with a white hat is holding up what looks like a cell phone. I don't think that's a cell phone at all. I don't think it was designed to be a cell phone. I think it was designed to be part of the targeting of Charlie Kirk. And I'm just suggesting. And then the guy in the black shirt, right to that guy's left, who is between Charlie and the guy in the white hat, behind Charlie, that guy is just, it's like he's on the Ed Sullivan Show doing hand signals. It's crazy. He's making all kinds of movements. So, all right.
Another key thing, if in the video, you will see within a half a second before the event happens, you see that man with the black shirt behind, I guess behind Charlie, reach his arm over for some reason, and he's not grabbing anything. He's not tapping him on the shoulder.
He sticks his arm straight out, and you see it. I don't know what the hell that's going on.
And then as soon as he pulls his hand back, that's when the event happens.
All right, this video is 8 seconds long, and I would like you to look at it several times. Do your own thinking, and I put some notes up above it to help you keep in mind what we see. And I do believe you will see the same thing. When he takes his right hand and moves it across his body in front and pushes on something or pulls on something, which causes the gunshot, you'll understand. Somehow, there is concealed high-tech weapon system at work there. I don't know if it's coming from under his shirt sleeve, but his left arm, he is intent on pointing that left arm in the direction of Charlie. And you'll take a look. All right, I'm going to have Todd put the video up right now. So go ahead, Todd. You'll have to reload the home page, and then you'll see it. And let's take a look. Let's see if I can confirm it's up. And Todd's putting it up. It's up. Okay, let it load, and then you'll see the guy in the brown, we'll call it the brown shirt, see his left arm on the railing, and watch his eyes, watch where he looks. Charlie is immediately to the left of the screen, and go ahead and watch. See, waiting for mine to come up. It's not coming up yet. I'll try it again.
I have mine is loaded up. It's on Rents.
Yeah, I have it at the top of the home page. Yeah. Okay.
It's up there.
Yeah, mine won't load yet. So you go ahead, everyone, and take a look. Okay, I think I got it now.
And I'll draw attention to the people watching this video. Watch how his left arm is in one position, and then within a second before the event, he changed the position of his arm, and that's when you watch his right hand reach over to his left shoulder, and watch what his fingers and his right hand is pinching on something, and watch what
and
it does.
They jerk it. He jerks it. Like
yes.
Pinches and pulls it real quick. And that's the sound, ka-chink, you hear it.
And while you're watching him push that, listen to the noise and watch what happens to Charlie, all at the same time.
All right, I'm going to just pause my talking here. We'll be quiet for a minute. You take a look at this video. It's 8 or 9 seconds, and just process what you're seeing. Watch how he smiles, too. He's very intent and enjoying what he's doing. All right, if you can't get it to load, the servers are going to get hit hard. But take a look. Everything he does is with intention and deliberation. And he grabs something with that right hand and pulls it, gunshot, immediately. That's the trigger man in our view.
I've looked at multiple videos at multiple angles. I've thought about this roof theory. I've looked at the theory with the guy at Charlie's right hand side holding something on his arm. Out of all these scenarios, the one that makes the most sense to me is what's up on the homepage. Because everything aligns with what an event, the event with Charlie goes down, this aligns, I'm not going to say almost literally perfectly, because it's just everything, the man's posture, his motions, the sink where at the split second he's pushing up where his right hand's pinching, he's pushing up on something, gunshot goes off, Charlie drops. And by the way, if you put it in slow motion, if you see there's a where his shirt puffs up, Charlie's shirt I'm talking about, it puffs up not from the outside in, right? From, I mean, from the inside out, like it would be like underneath the shirt puffing out. It's actually something coming in from underneath, like from an upward direction, upward trajectory going up right in through the shirt, and it aligns perfectly to the entrance point of his neck. And if you go look, draw a line straight from there, that point from his shirt, and backwards, it lines up almost perfectly with that gentleman standing right where he's at. So this is like, this is more than just like, well, he's not in the area. He is exactly, I mean, by the way, he's not very far from him. But I would give an estimate maybe 6 to 8 feet. Because he's really at the front rail right there. And I think he was considered part, I don't know for sure, but I think he might have been part of his security detail. He's like sticking out like a sore thumb compared to everybody else.
He doesn't look like anybody else in the crowd. And I don't believe he's security because he's not looking at the crowd. He's looking at the guy he's trying to protect. That's not what he'd be doing. He'd be gazing at the crowd.
Exactly. He's not doing any surveillance, scanning over the crowd behind him. It's back. Right. Actually, if he's doing security, he should have been turned around, and he would have been viewing the crowd behind him. But he's back and turned to the crowd.
Of course. Yeah. Absolutely. So, check it with the sound. Don't forget. Now he's looking. Watch where he looks, and remember, his glasses could also have some targeting imprinted on the lens of the glass, one side or both sides. He could be targeting. If he's got something on his body and that upper sleeve is bloused out a little bit, there could be a weapon in there. He's wearing a bulletproof vest. You can see that on his back if you look carefully. It goes up and down perfectly vertically, and it sticks out where a vest would stick out. So he's got a vest. He's not security, or he'd be turned the other direction. So what is he, and what the hell is he doing? And don't forget about the targeting on the glasses frame, the actual lens of the glass, left frame or right frame, doesn't matter. Both or one could have a targeting apparatus showing Charlie with a marksman circle and a square or a plus sign, either way, in it, so he could acquire the target he wanted. It's absolutely perfectly aligned. The geometry is where it should be for that to have happened. Where's the gun, you say? Where's the gun? It's under his shirt in that left shoulder area somehow. Remember, a small muzzle on you get an old-fashioned pistol. It doesn't have to be much bigger than the diameter of the round itself. Now, it looks to me, frankly, as if it could be a .22 caliber. They do use high-velocity .22 caliber to assassinate people. That's not uncommon. So imagine
the key point in this too, Jeff, is that this guy's in very close range. So it's not like he's 100 yards away, 100 feet away. Literally in front of him, almost. For something that specialized, I would assume, if it's that close by, using that small some type of weapon, you would have to be within close range.
Oh, it's perfect for that. 10 feet or less. Look at the first part of the video. First 3 seconds. The guy with the white hat is holding up a cell phone. I don't believe for a second that's a cell phone. It's something else. The guy on the right with the blue shirt and the balding head is the guy with the right hand holding something under his left armpit, left bicep, next to his body. But that cannot have done the damage that we saw. None of these.
And the angle's incorrect. The angle would not.
It's not right.
Not have been,
no, no. It's the opposite.
It's impossible.
It's 180 degrees the opposite of what it has to be. So the guy on the left with the white hat, what's he doing? He's pointing whatever that is at the guy in the brown shirt. Don't know. We have questions.
My guess, and this is me guessing only. I'm not saying this is accurate. My guess would be you have the guy with that thing under his arm. You have the guy with the black shirt behind him, which would be a point of reference, which kind of like a landmark in surveying. And then the guy with the camera also. It would be two electronic lasers where if he had them special glasses on, I'm talking about the possible shooter. I'll say possible. The possible shooter, if he needed some type of triangulation or some type of sight, right, through electronics, well, that would be, you would have two guys were kind of like electronic spotters,
right.
And that would give him line of sight through his glasses, meaning the tall guy with the big black shirt in back of him would be the letter or the point of reference that would have Charlie would be the actual target, and then behind him is a point of reference to where the electronically where everything would align. That's just a guess. I'm not saying that is what's going on. That would be my guess. Why? And also, again, it's very mysterious why right before the event, he reaches his hand out and puts, I don't know what he was reaching his hand out. I can't even see if there's anything in his hand even.
The guy in the black shirt.
Yeah, the guy in the black shirt, because if you see in the video, all you see is an arm come out. And then it comes back, and as soon as he pulls his arm back, that's when the event happens. I don't know. Again, that I don't know if that's by coincidence
his
or
arm
was that purposeful
comes out,
done.
His arm comes out at 0-3, and it goes back. There's nothing in his hand that I can see.
No, and then as soon as he pulls his hand back, that's when the event happens.
Right, at 0-4.
Within a split second after that, it happens.
At exactly 05, the guy in the brown shirt reaches up and triggers something. He's not scratching an itch. He's smiling, and he's watch him jerk on something. It's pushing or pulling it, and it triggers it. Watch it, and you'll see it. It's completely unnatural. It doesn't fit in any way with what's going on at this event. And you ask yourself, does that guy look like any of the other Charlie Kirk fans? No, not at all. He looks like a professional. Watch how he maneuvers that left arm as you watch this over and over again. Something very serious is going on with this guy. And the last frame in this, remember in video, there are 32 frames a second. He puts, if you watch, he'll put his right hand up on the railing with the left hand, and he actually, you can see him vault. He starts to leave the ground. He's jumping the fence, and we think he was one of the people that was carrying Charlie to the SUV in the back. Now, how did he arrange that? How did he get involved? What was he doing? Maybe he was monitoring to see if his victim was gone. We don't know. But this guy shouldn't have been there in the front facing Charlie as security. That doesn't work, not at all. And all of a sudden, he jumps the rail and is in the back and helping carry Charlie to the SUV. And look at the people carrying Charlie. You'll see a head that's kind of semi-bald. You'll see what looks like the same guy. Go ahead, Gary.
And again, if he's working security detail and he's supposed to be monitoring the crowd, his back is to the crowd, so he couldn't be monitoring anybody. I don't know who he's monitoring.
No, that's not security. That's not what security does. No,
not in that position. I mean, you would be facing the crowd. You wouldn't be going looking. And matter of fact, it wasn't like he just temporarily turned around to look at Charlie. He had been having his back to the crowd the whole time.
Yep.
It's just the movements, the position, everything's too
It's all synced up.
It's synced up, and it'd be like, say, lightning struck the same tree six times in a row.
Yeah. No, it's true.
It's a lot of coincidences. Too many coincidences, in my opinion. It's just the hand. All in general, put all the puzzle together.
Yeah. He's very cool, very calm, very deliberate, and he just reaches at 05. He just reaches around and grabs something and pushes or pulls it. That's the discharge. And then you hear instantly the gunshot, and you watch him. That guy looks like a textbook professional hitman. And if he's not, we're wrong. But I have never seen anything that bothers me any more than this, I tell you. It's not random behavior.
Out of every other option out there, any other explanation, from the official narrative, it was a transsexual loving man running up and down and limping around in a neighborhood and scaling buildings and jumping off roofs and everything else. From that story to it was weird FX from, special effects, and Charlie really ain't gone and he just went off to sip Mai Tai somewhere for the rest of his life, or it's a guy on the side, on his right side, at an angle that would be impossible to do at where the entry point is in Charlie's neck.
That's the underarm shooter, the alleged
underarm shooter, or any other plausible explanation, or a secondary sniper on a roof with a whatever. Out of all
the angles
of that,
wrong
and by
for
the way,
any roof
the
shot.
Angle's wrong.
No roof shot can work. Not hit him at that angle.
No, and if you look at the entryway of the way it enters his neck, it's from bottom up, not top down. So, if I'm up on a roof, I'm aiming top from higher level down versus being at a lower level up. That position where Charlie got hit in the neck, that's from lower level up, not upper level down.
100% correct.
So,
and Charlie,
out of all the
noticed
things that I've looked over the weekend, Jeff, I can't find any better that would have more pieces of the puzzle that fit than what is in this video, because there is no other. I can't see anything other than that.
Now, I want to point something else out. If you look at the guy in the brown shirt, look at his left shoulder, that's facing us, and you will see underneath the shirt something printing. That means making an impression in the shirt. It's perfectly round. I'd guess it's 3.5 inches in diameter. It's something in the shirt that is perfectly round. It looks like a tobacco can of chewing tobacco. It's in his shirt. Look at it. That's not normal. And if you look at his back, look how straight up and down it is. That's a vest.
Because the official FBI, by the way, the official FBI explanation is fantasy land. It's not even making any. Their own story is making no sense. No. There's nothing to that story. Even the most, people who normally go along to get along and believe everything the FBI says, themselves are saying whatever the FBI is saying is not making any sense. I mean, absolutely none of it.
No. Keep the more you watch it and listen to the sound, the more you're going to. And we're not trying to condition you to see it our way. Take it apart, Do what you can. It's your call. It's not our call. I just want you to see this clearly.
If they have a capability, Jeff, on their video players, on any of their media players, if they have a capability of putting in half speed or even quarter speed,
all the better.
All the better. I mean, I'm not trying to sell this video, but I've looked at numerous videos, numerous explanations, and out of all of them, all the other explanations, there's a couple of puzzle pieces that fit, but there's a big part of the puzzle pieces that don't fit. out of everything, I would say 99% of the puzzle pieces fit for this video. I just can't think of any other.
No, the angle of the actual impact on Charlie's neck is perfectly drawn from the brown shirt to Charlie. It's exact. It couldn't be any more obvious. It's a slight upward trajectory. It's close. I think it's a very small caliber. It's not 9mm. It's certainly not 30-06. A 20 high-powered, high-velocity 22 is more than enough to do that kind of damage, more than enough. And there could be some small high-tech device related to the round imprinted image on the left shoulder that's closest to the camera of that guy. His
and
left shoulder.
And the close proximity, again, this is very key. He's close by. He would need to, for something small like that, you're in close range, which he is.
Yeah.
The position of where he's standing at the lower level, at where exactly is in the same trajectory route or path for where the entry point goes into Charlie's neck.
Yeah.
The synchronicity or in the synchronicity of him pushing up in that spot of his shirt and the gunshot sound at the same time and Charlie being hit at the same time. These are all within sync with each other. And see, again, that's what I'm saying. It's like there's a lot more puzzle pieces fit this. And then, look, I will admit I'm wrong if someone can show me something that where the puzzle pieces fit as good as this does. Because, like I said, I haven't seen nothing. All different alternative explanations, alternative theories, all different things. I've looked, and it's just... I mean, they're far off possibilities.
Yeah,
honestly, close to a possibility as anything, as I believe.
Yeah, I would suggest also that another angle here is that that vest that you see on his back, you can see it. It's perfectly straight up and down, slightly off on an angle, but that vest could be where the actual high-tech, small shooting device is held. It could be coming right through a little tiny hole in the shirt, and he could be pulling the string, we'll call it pulling the string, and triggering that device, and he could be sighting, targeting, either with a visual laser that we can't see, or in his glasses. That's another possibility. But it may be housed in that, what looks to be, a bulletproof vest. They could easily put something in there. A small shooting device, a deadly device. But he clearly triggers something. I think we can all agree on that. If you can't agree on that, that's fine. But I just have never seen anything more compelling than what we're looking at here on this video.
Yep. And again, like I said, you compare it to the other stories out there.
No, this is far better.
Which one makes the most sense to you? I mean, if you line them up and you compare them to that story A, B, C, D, and the official FBI nonsense. You can compare all different versions of what people have been listening in the audience, what they've been seeing, and then watch this and say, which one is the most sense, the most plausible explanation?
Mm-hmm. You know, another thing, Gary, bulletproof vest is half to three-quarters of an inch thick in many cases. Yep. Some are even maybe bigger than that, beefier than that. They could put a device in that vest easily. This is way beyond James Bond of 50 years ago. So don't discount it because it's not holding up a handgun.
Even at that angle, by the way, even at that angle where the guy is at, he would literally be able to clear that vest. It would have went right over the top. If you see where his shirt pushes up, you can see the line of the actual vest that Charlie's wearing underneath that T-shirt of his. And you can I see right at the bottom part of his rib cage, you'll see like a square looking thing. Well, that looks like a bulletproof vest to me. And I have read multiple accounts where he has been wearing a bulletproof vest for quite a while at these open air public events.
Right. And the videos out there and freeze frames showing that what looked like on his Charlie's left shoulder, it looks like a big strap, a bulletproof vest shoulder strap. Another view of it has shown clearly that it's more looking like a gold chain that he wore his cross, his crucifix with. I've seen that too. But always be mindful that we're in the age of AI now. And no, I don't think this video is tampered with, but there could be a lot of others that are coming or already out there now that have been. And I've gotten reports from people that they've seen videos that are clearly suspicious. So there we go. Anyhow, hopefully you'll give that an open-minded evaluation. But that guy's right hand comes up and does something. He triggers something at the moment you hear the shot. Where is that something? On his shoulder? On his chest, perhaps? It's small. If this is a very high-velocity, smokeless 22 round, that would be enough to do all the damage, easily.
Yeah. And being as close proximity as he is right. to Charlie, and he's dead in front of him at a lower level. It's really, like, again, I mean, if you go through all the different scenarios people have been presenting online, and I'm not, you know, look, some might be misinformation or disinformation, or might just be genuine people trying to find an explanation. I'm not going to, you know, make accusations against anybody. I'm saying, but the rooftop scenario makes no sense to me. I mean, especially at the position where that entry wound goes, the way it, right. way it actually hits him. If you're talking about like the FBI version, or they're using a hunting rifle, that would have literally ripped half of his throat out.
Well, that's yeah.
At that close of range, yes, it would have. It would at least took a big chunk of his neck out. It wouldn't leave such
any
a
any human
precision.
Would have suffered catastrophic damage. By the way, it's about 22 long rifle rounds can go up to 1,650, they say here. Feet per second. That's pretty damn fast from 10 feet away or less. And yes, it'll go right through it. But no one's talking about finding the bullet. No one's talking about look for the bullet. Where's the bullet? Nobody's talking about that. There's no evidence that the bullet, by the way, came out the back. There's no evidence. There's no bleeding.
And
nothing.
Let me explain. You want to know one of the most deadliest handguns on the streets that's the cheapest, one of the cheapest guns to get? It's called the Saturday Night Special.
Yeah,
it's 22s.
Yeah.
Why is that? Because when you shoot someone at a close range with a Saturday Night Special, that round will go into the body and bounce all over the place, and it will not go out. That's why emergency rooms say that's one of the most weapons they hate the most. Is a Saturday Night Special because it causes so much internal damage because the bullets are traveling at a rate where it doesn't leave the body. It stays inside the body, by the way.
And also people who are saying, there's one ridiculous video out there saying that Charlie had a blood pack. And it's proven because when they're carrying him out, there's no bleeding. Well, sorry, but if that round went right on past his artery, and into his brainstem, it could have shut down the autonomic nervous system that orders his heart to beat, and when you have no active pump, you have no more bleeding. It's sad to say, but that's exactly what may have happened.
And by the way, if you look at the video where he's being loaded into the vehicle, look at his ankles. His ankles, he's just flopping. His ankles and his feet are just flopping around. He has literally no motor control over them, of his ankles or feet. And by the way, the reflex mode, anyone who's ever been to a doctor, they take that little tool that tap you below your knee and your leg jumps up. Reflex-wise, and if someone was carrying by that, you would see movement in his legs, like right, his feet would be, you know, still up and stuff. But look at his ankles and his feet; they're just dangling.
Right.
There's literally no motor control in them.
The sad thing is, Charlie's gone. Two children, a wife, but in every day, over 200 more men, women, and an awful lot of children who are being deliberately shot in the head by Israeli troops are mentioned in the media. with slaughter going on there all the time. Death is something that the state of Israel has no problem perpetrating against anybody they choose. None. They never have. Look at John Kennedy, all right? Let's go all the way back to Jesus Christ. They don't hesitate to kill people who are in their way. And I don't understand Christian Zionists, Gary. Maybe you do.
No,
here's this group of people that killed Jesus, and many of them say they'd do it again if they had the chance, and yet we've given them at least $1 trillion since the State of Israel was formed, and now Charlie Kirk is said to have received at least $80 million over the years from Jewish donors. This is not made up, is what they're saying, to build Turning Point USA into the huge monster it was. 3,500 colleges had chapters. That's a big base of support for Israel. And they could not tolerate the fact that he was going to turn against any part of their agenda, most specifically the genocide in Gaza. And he was showing all signs and making all statements that that's exactly what he was going to do. So they terminated him, martyred him, and now they're trying to recast him as the ultimate friend of Israel. No, that's not the case. Watch Candace Owens and her story about Bill Ackman and allegedly threatening Charlie Kirk in the Hamptons recently, which was accompanied by a phone call, supposedly, from Netanyahu himself. And recently Charlie had turned down more money from the Jewish state. I think he realized he had been completely bought and compromised with all that money. And that's what happens. You make a deal with the devil, and you try and get out of it, and good luck.
Well, she, on her live stream this afternoon, broke down a timeline. Basically, what she said was, and they had some private event in the Hamptons with Bill Ackman. Threats were made. Bibi Netanyahu got on the phone.
Let me also play that with Candace's own words here. That'll be even better. All right, so here I've got it queued up. Here we go.
Yahoo, and that phone call, what took place was a couple of weeks ago before Charlie lost his life. Charlie was in the Hamptons, and he had more than one event, but he had essentially what was staged, an intervention was staged by Bill Ackman, because Charlie's rational thoughts about Israel were a no-no. This is not the route that you should be going on. And Charlie was surrounded by his friends, quote-unquote friends. Bill Ackman was very upset. And
if you wake up with brain fog that makes simple...
Hold on. This is very interesting and very important. Okay.
It's were made. That is what...
I'll back it up here just a bit.
So Bibi Netanyahu, and that phone call, what took place was a couple of weeks ago before Charlie lost his life. Charlie was in the Hamptons, and he had more than one event, but he had essentially what was staged, an intervention was staged by Bill Ackman, because Charlie's rational thoughts about Israel were a no-no. This is not the route that you should be going on. And Charlie was surrounded by his friends, his quote-unquote friends. Bill Ackman was very upset, and threats were made. That is what I am told, and I will tell you that I am very happy for Bill Ackman to dispute this narrative. In fact, he was asked to dispute this narrative. Max Blumenthal went out to him today, and Bill Ackman came back and said, I have receipts I can show you, and he did not provide the receipts. And this is not how it went down. I know it went down this way. I'm waiting for one of them to go on record and to say that it didn't go down this way. It was at this time that Bibi Netanyahu was called and Charlie was invited to Israel. This was an under duress situation, I would say, because I've been in these situations before. When I started asking very sensible questions about Israel, as someone who had dedicated her political life to supporting Israel, many times alongside Charlie Kirk, I was met with the very same pressure. And just like Charlie was being invited to Israel, I was invited somewhere else. And when this arrived to me, it felt like a threat. You know, I got to tell you that. It felt like a threat, like not like, hey, come here and we can educate you because you're my friend. More like, this is your last chance. That's how it felt to me. I can't speak to how it felt to Charlie. And I know that Charlie was offered a ton of money in this moment. A ton of money. Bibi would fund it, you know, spend tons of money. And Turning Point, I guess, if it needed to go to a higher level, would have gone to an even higher level than it already was at. And I know for a fact that Charlie denied that funding, that Charlie denied, and what Bibi didn't include there, he declined to go to Israel. I would describe this as like, you know, re-education camp, you know, we've seen it. You made an uh-oh, but we can help you. You know, we just need you to come out to Auschwitz and take a picture. Yeah. We just need you to come to the Holocaust Museum and take a photo. We just need you to go to Israel and we can make this better. Charlie said no to Bibi. Okay. Bill Ackman, if you would like to dispute that, I would love to hear what you say happened, because our sources and what we have, it's solid. Okay, there were conversations that took place, messages that were sent at that time, and they are solid. So I decided, another person that was there, and I am not surprised this person was there, if you've been listening to my show, Seth Dillon. I was going to go to Seth Dillon, and I decided to message him last night about this Hamptons meeting. And Seth Dillon, who is normally very quick with a response, has not yet been able to respond. I'll show you this text message chain. And I want to be clear, I am not someone who normally publicizes text messages. But my friend was shot in the neck. And I'm just not really in the state right now to be polite when it comes to the answers that I am demanding, okay? This is me out to Seth Dillon last night. I sent him Bill Ackman's tweets because, you know, he tweeted.
Okay, we're going to pause there. The entire live cast, which is what this was, it's recorded now, with Candace is up there, or will be up there on the top of headlines momentarily, and you can listen to the whole thing. The link should start right where I began about 15 minutes in. I think that's where it was. 1519. So just start at 1519 if the link doesn't take you there. Very compelling. Candace Owens has a sterling reputation for truth and honesty. No one really can dispute that. She's a very solid individual, very smart, very well informed, and knows of which she's talking. She's not making things up. Any comment on that, Gary?
And she went on to say after that point that part of the other pressure was to add on guest speakers that were going to be doing at these TPUSA tours.
Ah, Turning Point guest speakers would be all Zionists. Yeah. Am I right?
Yes, all Zionists. Yes, all Zionists.
Okay.
And all the Zionists would be doing pro-Israeli propaganda. And he was not for that. And he turned them down on that, too. Again, the problem is, like you said at the beginning of this, this conversation, this part of the segment of the program, he took $80 million from the office. You don't turn against the office when you've taken money from the office. If you're a person, he was owned, I use that word in a very different type of way, but he was controlled by the office. He was employed by the office. And the office, what we're talking about is World Zionism. He was employed by them, and when he turned on them, you don't turn against the office, because the office will find a way to get rid of you. because then you become a liability. And if you have noticed, ever since Charlie has been gone, they've making him sound like he was like a bigger Zionist than Mike Huckabee and Trump combined.
Wow. Pretty disgusting.
And it goes completely against everything that's truth, and which is why Candace Owens presented this today.
Right. Well, Charlie's statements, right out of his own mouth in the last month or so, are very clear in their import, in their meaning, and in their sincerity. He was getting ready to take a new approach to supporting Israel and its U.S. bankrolled, to a large degree, or hell, maybe entirely, genocide in Gaza. We're paying for it. You people and your tax dollars, it's all going to Israel as much as they want. Always has. Nothing new since 1948. All right, Gary, we put it out there, and it's up to our listeners to make their own decisions. Thank you. Great job again, and we'll talk soon.
I appreciate it, Jeff. Have a good evening.
All right. Gary Holland in Las Vegas, and we'll pause and come back.